You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Friday. We're going to take you all the way down to the end of the week. Listen, I'm going to go to this next dipper, and I'm going to be honest with you. This one is heavy. Charlene and I talked about this last night. This has really gotten under both our skins and a lot of other – I mean, literally, the nation is reeling right now, watching some of the things that are openly happening in our streets and our college campuses. It's not that we don't think that there's going to be people out there that have a right to say something we object to. That's not the point. How many times have we had it hammered just in the last few years? Hammered. Well, you know, hate crimes and racism and things when it didn't exist. But when it does, the libs won't say anything about it. In fact, it almost appears they encourage it, or at the very least foster it to some degree by enabling the behavior. We're going to pay off all your student loans and things are going to be wonderful. And oh, by the way, we're going to negotiate with you while you're on the college campus tearing crap up. Did you hate Jews? You do? Wow. Let's talk about that. Can we make you feel better? Did it trigger you that we said that? Here's the bottom line. I do not want to see this go any further. If this was happening right now in the streets like it is with about Jews, with any other racial or religious demographic, I would have the same thing to say. The fact that this is happening to Jews is also, though, by the way, carries a great deal of historical context. It is not as if this has not been a thing throughout time. Is there a true spirit, spiritual warfare speaking, is there a true spirit against the Jews? I would say yes, I think there is. And it manifests itself throughout time. You can see it in the nations that attacked the Jews in Israel just throughout history. And then you can see it most notably in our era with Nazi Germany. And it kicked off. I say really kicked off. Like it came to a crucible moment with a thing that we call Kristallnacht. That's the name given for it. Kristallnacht was a series of events that took place on November 10th, 9th and 10th in 1938. So Kristallnacht, if you're not familiar, I speak a little bit of German, but the reality is Kristallnacht means the night of broken glass or crystal night. And what basically happened was on Kristallnacht, on that particular night, Nazis in Germany, they torched synagogues, they vandalized Jewish homes, schools, and businesses. They murdered close to 100 Jews. And in the aftermath of it, 30,000 Jewish men were arrested and sent to Nazi concentration camps. Phil, that's Nazi Germany. That's not here. We're not here. This piece that I'm reading from history.com also points out, though, there were a number of repressive policies that had been in place and growing for the 5 years prior to that. Oh, really? Yes. Nazi policies that had been largely nonviolent up to that point. Really? Yeah, but they allowed it to be a fomenting of discord. They allowed there to be, as a matter of government policy, they allowed there to be a festering, if you will. There's three things, in my opinion, that if you had to sum it up, three categories here of things that occurred or did not occur that led to Kristallnacht on that night in 1938, those two nights. One was actual government policy. Actual government policy that put the Jews in a bad light, that put the Jews in a bad space and gave the Jews no recourse to deal with it under the government. They were no longer protected as a matter of government policy. Number two was stoking of fears. The government, the Nazi Party, chose to allow the stoking of fears. Sometimes they did it themselves. Sometimes they allowed it to happen and said nothing when it did. The stoking of fears. The demonizing of an entire populace. was done. And then the third is not enforcing existing laws. There were laws on the books against vandalism and violence. There were laws on the books against harassment. They chose not to enforce them because the victims were Jews, and therefore they didn't deserve it. So you had government policies that allowed the festering of the mood, you had the stoking of fears, and you had the not enforcing of existing laws. And Kristallnacht occurred. And by the way, here's one of the things that happened that kicked off the Kristallnacht events on the 9th and 10th of November 1938. A young Jewish man, he's 17 years old. This guy's name's Herschel Grinspan. Herschel Grinspan, he found out that his parents had been exiled. They were Polish Jews, and they had been exiled from Hanover, Germany, where he had been born and grew up. And he was angry. He felt mistreated. His parents were gone. He didn't understand it. And so he took matters into his own hands. And so a teenager at 17 years old shot a German guy named Ernst von Rath. Ernst von Rath. He was a German diplomat living in Paris. A 17-year-old shot a man out of anger for what the government did to his parents. Rath died from his wounds. Hitler decided to go to Rath's funeral. Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi minister for, propaganda, he decided to seize on it and make it a thing. He used the death of Rath to stoke anti-Semitic frenzy. In other words, there was a flashpoint. There was a flashpoint that they used then as a pretext. A pretext being the legal term for one thing was done, but it was used for another purpose. And so they took the death of Rath and they turned it into something they needed because they wanted to get rid of the Jews, and it was the opportunity they finally had. Now, I say all this to say, Kristallnacht didn't happen. It didn't happen on one night. It didn't just come about that week. It wasn't just because of a 17-year-old kid, a Jewish kid, who shot a German guy. It wasn't that. It was a period of time built up over 5 years where things were allowed to happen over and over and over again, with the government enacting policies that disenfranchise an entire set of people, then stoking fears about those people, and then not enforcing laws to protect those people when people took matters into their own hands because they had their fears stoked. And then you can look at what's happening in America today. Story here on the Daily Wire, this came out yesterday. Department of Homeland Security, that's our Department of Homeland Security, is being sued right now. Why? Because they have an ex-PLO spokeswoman, the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, a terrorist organization. They have an ex-PLO spokeswoman working in the DHS. Doing what? Performing what they call credible fear interviews, reviewing evidence and credibility to determine the admissibility of asylum seekers. Wow. So she works for DHS, and while she works for DHS, allegedly to help people and secure our environment, her social media is covered up with jihad against the Jews and posting memes celebrating Hamas terrorists paragliding into dance festivals with guns, writing things that are foul about Israel, the government, its military, saying things like, "Are you ready for your downfall, Israel?" DHS put her on paid leave when it was discovered. 6 months later, she's still on paid leave, and she goes online and gloats about it, getting her unpaid leave and seeming to suggest that Mayorkas was protecting her. Here's the bottom line. She's using her paid leave time, courtesy of taxpayers, to join up with radical protests at the Israeli embassy. And you look at that and go, okay, if you're not going to take action, government, if you're going to allow things like this to happen, how different is that from a government in 1938 that turned its attention onto an entire demographic of people and began to disenfranchise them purposefully and even allow government policy to go in that direction? Now listen, we're going to take a break right now. When I get back from this break, though, I'm going to tell you, there are events occurring right now, like things happening on subway trains, the vandalization of Jewish people's homes, or for that matter, waving of Hamas and Hezbollah flags at events where it's known that it will just stoke fear. That can't happen in America. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Oh, man, just, I mean, like, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper already, Kristallnacht in America. And coming up bottom of the hour, don't forget, we got Butters and Lee coming on. But this section, Kristallnacht in America, it's pretty sobering, man. And remember I said a moment ago, there were three things, in my opinion, that if you had to boil it down, that were allowed to happen in the mid to late 30s in Nazi Germany that led to a night called Kristallnacht, in which, you know, Jews were vandalized and synagogues were torched and Jewish homes vandalized. I mean, schools and businesses, all of it. Close to 100 Jews were murdered that night across the country. 30,000 were arrested in the days thereafter and sent off to concentration camps. I believe it was a combination of government policy that actually disenfranchised an entire demographic. It was stoking of fears in the populace, and then it was not enforcing the laws that were designed to protect even those Jews who were being persecuted. And it resulted in Kristallnacht. Chris from Gadsden just texted in and said, it sounds like you've been reading the book They Thought They Were Free. Yeah, he loaned me that book a while back. It's an amazing book. And it actually interviews people who were Nazis or Germans at the very least in the communities in which concentration camps and anti-Semitism was allowed to be, you know, fester, and they thought they were free, and they weren't. Brian from Huntsville's on line one. Let me grab that real quick. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, sir. And if I remember correctly on the history and everything, it was during the Weimar Republic where that Germany started putting down very strict gun laws across the board, and they had to check and register everything. No, their laws led to Hitler being able to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And then after Kristallnacht was when he decided no Jews could have guns anywhere before everything else progressed. And interesting thing is I actually knew the grandfather of somebody over there, and he said he refused to take guns from one of them because one of those Jewish people was wearing the Iron Cross from World War One.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
And there were thousands of Jewish people that served in World War One that earned the Iron Cross.
They were loyal. They were loyal Germans through and through until their country turned on them.
They would have to do the stuff to the gun laws here first. And a lot of people are trying to actually let Kristallnacht go on here.
Point taken, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good one.
All right, see you, buddy. Yeah, let me tell you some things that have been happening around the nation, and I don't discount his point. I think that we are a slightly different society. Obviously, we have constitutional rights and liberties. We have a rule of law that is greater than any one man or party that can take over. But listen to some of the things that have been happening around the nation. Like, for instance, New York Post story that came out 3 days ago. Masked anti-Israel protesters take over a New York City subway car and tell all Zionists on the train to raise their hands. This is your chance to get out, they said. Masked anti-Israel protesters took over a New York City subway car on Monday, demanded to know if any Zionists were on the train, warning them, this is your chance to get out, or what? Or what? One anti-Semitic demonstrator at the event that they were coming through yelled that he wished Hitler was still here to wipe out the Jews. A sickening moment came when protesters rallied and held up a banner that said, Long live October 7th. That's the day that Hamas massacred people in Israel. Later, the mob of protesters lit flares and waved flags associated with Hezbollah and Hamas in front of the Nova Music Festival exhibition on Wall Street in what they called a citywide day of rage for Gaza. One packed, and then the subway situation I told you about. That's happening here in America? On our streets? Now, I got news. I will say this, too. If they had said, all right, any gay person, stand up on the train. This is your chance to get out. There would have been outrage. Every news outlet would have been festering over it. It would have been like, you know, bring out the National Guard. But then you got stuff like this. Jerusalem Post has a story that just talks about what happened in New York. anti-Israel extremists painted Hamas symbols on the home of a Jewish museum director in New York. Ann Pasternak, who runs the Brooklyn Museum, was labeled a white supremacist Zionist by activists. White supremacist Zionist. Do they hear themselves? You're a racist Jew, and we hate you because you're a racist Jew. Aren't you just doing what you're saying she does? Which she doesn't, but you're going to say you do. Anyway, last month, demonstrators from groups including the pro-Palestinian organization called Within Our Lifetime hung a banner over the Brooklyn Museum's main entrance, calling for it to divest from genocide. There have been a number of other days in which they had their day of rage for Gaza, but now they're vandalizing homes, threatening people on the trains, calling for the extermination of Jews in open protest. The New York City mayor, Eric Adams, has denounced, according to the Times of Israel, June 12th, 2 days ago, denounced anti-Israel protesters who were waving terror flags and chanting slogans championing attacks on Israel. Any New Yorker who stands for peace cannot stand next to those waving Hamas and Hezbollah flags, he said. That is pure anti-Semitism. Good for him. Good for him. He's a Democrat, and I'll say good for him. Listen, y'all, we got to have more leaders saying exactly that kind of thing. Meanwhile, you've got this, Washington Examiner. A Jewish student at the University of California, this story came out yesterday, at the University of California is having his diploma withheld. He's not going to graduate because they say he stole or damaged a poster as part of the anti-Israel encampment. So there was a poster that said anti-Semitic things, and a Jewish kid is accused of having taken the poster, so they're not going to let him graduate? Are you kidding me with this? The only thing I'm guilty of is not understanding that student conduct policies apply more stringently toward Jewish students, he told the Washington Examiner. Yeah. So allegedly he was walking across the campus on May 7th, dropping his kids off at school. And he saw an encampment, and he saw the poster. And so he swatted at it like you swat a horsefly in your face because people were holding it out. The poster contained a hand-drawn caricature of what it called a hook-nosed Jew wearing a shtimel and peyos, holding a bloody knife over a Palestinian flag, saying, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." He swatted the poster. He was accused of stealing it. He's not going to be allowed to graduate. Tell me that what we're seeing is not the kind of things they saw festering for 5 years prior to Kristallnacht. And if you can tell me with a straight face that it's not the same, I'll just tell you, you're wrong. You got to put a stop to it. Do they have a freedom of speech? Yes, they do. Inciting violence and calling for the death of Jews is not covered by freedom of speech. Vandalizing people's homes and threatening them on the subways, not covered by free speech. Put a stop to it. We don't want Kristallnacht in America. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Butters and Lee coming up. We'll be right back.